This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. This is Derek Haskins, Communications Director for the South Dakota Department of Health. Thank you for joining us for our Monday COVID-19 case update call. I'm joined today by Secretary of Health Kim Malsom-Risden and Dr. Joshua Clayton, State Epidemiologist. I'll let Dr. Clayton give today's update, and then we will take your questions.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Today, we're reporting out 163 new cases of COVID-19 in the state. This does include 6 new hospitalizations, 0 new deaths, 125 new individuals who have recovered to the point where they're no longer able to transmit COVID-19, and a total of 1,846 new tests that have been reported to the South Dakota Department of Health. This does bring our total COVID-19 case count to 16,801. Of those, 2,499 are considered active infections, and 14,118 are considered recovered. We have a total of 110 individuals who are currently hospitalized, 184 individuals who have died, and a total of 223,717 total tests that have been reported to the Department of Health. Among 165,139 unique persons. Just to provide updates that will be on the website, if they are not already, is the total number of cases within South Dakota K-12 schools. And so the updated number we have for you today is 668 total cases, of which 453 individuals have recovered. And that breakdown is 446 students and 221 staff. And then for the COVID-19 cases within our South Dakota colleges, universities, and technical colleges, we have a total of 1,053 cases. Of those, 860 have recovered, and the split is that we have 1,004 students, and 49 total staff. And then just to give a brief update also on our overall hospitalizations, one of the things that I would like to mention is that we have seen among those, since the beginning of the pandemic, we've seen a total of 32 individuals who were hospitalized who were under the age of 20. And when you compare that, you're looking at those who are 60 years of age and older, so we had a total of 588 total individuals who are 60 years and older who have been hospitalized due to COVID-19. So just a quick comparison across some of those numbers. And we do see increasing rates of hospitalization with increasing age, which is a risk factor for COVID-19 severe disease and hospitalization. So with that,
I'll unmute the lines, and then we'll take your questions. We're ready for your questions.
It's Ben with the Plainsman in Huron.
Go ahead, Ben.
Yes, just looking at after Friday's testing that we had in Huron for State Fair workers, it looks like we only had roughly 80 new cases and 100 total tests that came through in Saturday and Sunday reporting. Is there still more reporting that you expect to come from those tests, or is that all of the testing that was carried out this last Friday?
Ben, thanks for that question. This is Secretary Malsom-Risden. I meant to give you guys an update on the mass testing event in Huron that was held on Friday. You'll recall that we were set up and provided 500 tests to the community there, you know, geared towards individuals that worked at the fair, volunteered at the fair, or otherwise were working in situations where they would have come into contact with fairgoers. So we had 500 tests available. We had only 31 individuals decide to come and be tested. Those tests were run at the State Public Health Lab on Saturday, and all were negative. I'd also like to give an update on our Sentinel testing results for schools so far. In the last 2 weeks where we have had schools participating in Sentinel testing, we've seen 121 tests administered, and all of those have been negative as well.
All right, we'll go to the next question. I'll just remind you, if you're not asking a question, to make sure you're on mute.
This is Jonathan with the Argus Leader.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
Thank you. Hey, what is the current guideline for quarantining asymptomatic close contacts in schools? And has that changed recently? And if so, what was the reasoning behind that?
Jonathan, this is Secretary Malcolm Risden. So the Department of Health has not changed its guidance. We continue to follow the CDC guidance. However, the Department of Education has informed schools that the recommendations around quarantines are recommendations, and that the school board has the final decision-making ability relative to whether they follow those guidelines or not.
Next question.
This is Morgan at the Rapid City Journal.
Go ahead, Morgan.
Thanks. I've heard from multiple families in different school districts who say their school is doing, like, the state's job of contact tracing. For example, a school staff member would call them to say that they're close contact or have been exposed, and they also say to treat the call like it's a call from the DOH because the DOH is overwhelmed. Is this the case, and has the department instructed school administrators and teachers to kind of act as support staff for contact tracing?
Morgan, well, I can tell you that, again, the Department of Health continues to do all of the case investigations and close contact notifications. In the case of schools, we worked with schools that wanted to be proactive when they were learning about cases, sometimes before even the Department of Health would know about a case. And you'll remember the way case notifications happen is when you get tested, the laboratory that processes your test then lets your provider know who ordered it. And so it's the provider, your physician, who's going to get a hold of the positive person and let them know their test results. So in those kinds of situations, we can see where a person will learn before their test result, before we ever get that at the Department of Health. So schools want to be proactive, or some schools want to be proactive with that. And so we worked with them to develop some template letters that they could use in those situations to let folks know that their child may be considered a close contact, but that the Department of Health would be contacting them and kind of sorting that out. So they're not doing contact tracing. They're proactively letting people know that they may have been exposed.
Next question.
This is Ray from Cowland.
Go ahead, Ray.
Hi. The CDC released a report on September 11th related to COVID in daycares, and they recommended testing for daycares because kids without symptoms were transmitting COVID. Can you respond to that or react to that?
So, yeah, we are very much aligned with the CDC guidelines around testing in special populations such as child care settings, correctional facilities, meat processing facilities, and so on. So we do follow the CDC guidelines as it pertains to trying to get. We've spoken several of our update calls. We have tried to COVID update calls that we host on a weekly basis. We have been letting the larger medical community know that we are focused on testing individuals who are asymptomatic close contacts that are specifically within households, just because of the prolonged duration that individuals have in those settings.
Are you still there?
Or other settings.
I'm sorry, you kind of went in and out throughout your whole response, so just as a follow-up.
Can you mute your phone while he responds? I think that might help.
So I'll go ahead and try again. So the follows CDC guidelines as they pertain to special populations, which includes, child care facilities, correctional facilities, and meat processing facilities is just a few examples. And so, the focus that we have is, first and foremost, to try and get individuals in who are more likely to be at higher risk of becoming sick with COVID-19 or who are at higher risk of more severe disease if they did develop COVID-19. And so one example of that is talking about the recommendations the Department of Health has had for some weeks now of testing individuals, whether they're symptomatic or asymptomatic, within households, in those close contacts, be prioritized for testing. And the focus is that individuals in those settings have prolonged contact as well as different types of contact. And so the sort of focus on child care settings as one other example is one where it's often difficult to differentiate a specific exposure because of the level of contact that most of those providers have with children and children with each other.
Next question.
Hi, this is Whitney Fox with Keller Williams News.
Go ahead.
So I was made aware that Sanford Health is the first in the nation to start this trial for umbilical stem cells for the treatment of COVID-19. Do you have a reaction to that? And as a follow-up question as well, what differences are you hoping to see with this trial as compared to the trial with the hydroxychloroquine?
Whitney, I don't know that we are familiar with the trial that you're speaking of, but again, we encourage innovation. COVID obviously is a new disease, and so the development of therapeutics and vaccines represent opportunities for us to contribute towards the overall response. So we appreciate when individuals are doing research with those things in mind.
Next question.
Ray from Kelland again? Ray from Kelland?
Ray.
Hi, yes, I'm curious
Ray,
about...
I'm going to ask you to hold for just a second. We have a noise in our building, and so we want to just make sure we hear your question.
Okay, thanks.
Go ahead.
Hi, getting back to contact tracing, can you give me a ballpark figure about how many calls are being made a day by those 243 staffers? Or 203 individuals working in it?
Let's see here. I've got just a bit of an update in that regard. We've got 278 individuals currently helping with our response, and that is divided between people that are doing investigations, people that are doing close contact notifications, and then individuals who are doing those 10-day callbacks and release from isolation. So we're up to 278. The number of contacts obviously varies day to day and are directly related to the number of cases that we have, but I'd look to Josh to give us some kind of average numbers that way.
Yeah, and when it comes to conducting a close contact notification, you know, it takes anywhere between 10 and 20 minutes, depending on the number of questions that individuals have as Department of Health staff have been reaching out to them. You know, it has been a little bit closer to 20 minutes earlier on, and, you know, few as 10 minutes with individuals who are kind of keeping up with the COVID-19 information and understand kind of what their next steps are. So it really does depend, across all of the staff that are working, how many people are picking up the phone and taking that call when the Department of Health does call them. But on an average, for each individual that we have working, they're able to get through four or more in an hour.
Next question.
Yeah, JP from KORN News Radio.
Go ahead, JP.
Thank you very much. Along the lines of the contact tracing, how many calls are you making that are actually you're actually getting an answer to, as opposed to people ignoring them?
Well, JP, that has been a very real challenge since the beginning of our response, and so thank you for helping us get the word out about the importance of picking up the phone when we call. Or calling back, because we will leave messages for individuals to call back. And when people help us with that, it helps us not waste time repeatedly calling people. And we will repeatedly call people until we get a hold of them. And so I would just tell you that the success rate of calling people the first time and having them pick up is not where we'd like it to be. We'd like that to be much higher.
Next question.
Jack Cottle, KEVN and KOTA. With last week's White House Task Force report that came out and some of the recommendations that it had, are any changes being made in the state's approach to the pandemic at this point?
Well, Jack, we addressed this last week as well, but we will continue to aggressively promote the CDC guidance as it pertains to what people can do to keep themselves safe and keep others safe from COVID. And so those recommendations remain the same. Good hand hygiene, staying away from individuals when you can, at least 6 feet. Minimizing your indoor contact with people to the greatest extent possible. If you can't do those things, consider wearing a mask. Those things are going to continue to be really important, especially as we look to flu season when, there's just going to be more opportunity for people to be getting sick from multiple different viruses. So we will continue to aggressively promote those concepts and appreciate your help with that.
One follow-up to that. Why is it always phrased, consider wearing a mask, and never, you should wear a mask?
Well, for some people, wearing a mask is not indicated. It's not a hard and fast rule. But for, healthy individuals who don't have problems breathing, who find themselves in situations where they can't stay at least 6 feet away from individuals for at least 15 minutes, those folks should be wearing masks.
Next question.
Yeah, Ray again from Kettleland, if I can.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to follow up on the contact tracing again. Can you give me a scenario where you've called people, what's the duration? Are we talking 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, or 5 days before someone picks up?
It can be any of those. A certain amount of time, though, we, will resort to other means to try to get a hold of people so that they, again, have the information that they need to stay safe.
All right, one more question.
If no one has it, I'll take it.
Okay.
You talked about the fair, the testing after the fair. You had 500 available and 31 people turned out. How do you respond to that? Is there any reason you feel like they wouldn't show up, or can you just respond to that?
I don't know that we really have a sense of, why we saw the numbers that we saw, but I think it's fair to say that there weren't an enormous amount of people that were too concerned about being exposed to COVID.
Is that good, bad, or is it concerning, indifferent from the DOH's standpoint?
And I think, it's very difficult to try and identify exactly, what an individual, what their decision-making process was. If it's coming from the perspective that individuals, don't feel like they have any risk, whatsoever, then that would be an area that we would want to make sure that we're working with you guys to do some aggressive awareness that, COVID can strike individuals, wherever they're at within their communities, within their homes, and at events. If it's individuals who felt they took proper precautions, and are then, not at risk, I think that would be a good thing for us to say that people were doing what they felt they needed to stay safe.
All right. Thank you all for joining us today, and we will visit with you on Thursday.